Gary, when we talk about chickens and roosters, what is the biggest misnomer? Does it have to do with the hen house?
Well, it could be. You know, housing is an important part of chicken husbandry. There are certain things that are basic in proper chicken husbandry, and good care, good nutrition, not overcrowding. What are the benefits of owning chickens? Why do people want to raise chickens now as opposed to 10 years ago or 15 years ago? When I was a child, almost all of my friends, and I grew up in a suburb of Los Angeles, and even though we were close to a big city, a really high percentage of people had chickens in their backyard. And
is it a cultural thing, or is it just kind of a neighborhood thing?
I just think it's. We went from an agrarian society to an industrial society, and from that, I think it's the roots of the agrarian society. People just grew up wanting fresh eggs and fresh meat, and
now, McDonald's is doing a different thing. They've got fresh meat with one of their sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a significant taste difference, consistency difference, everything different.
Mm-hmm.
Same with fresh eggs versus the eggs that you get at most of the grocery stores?
I think most of the eggs you get at the grocery stores they're from huge facilities with tens of thousands of hens laying eggs. Whether they're cage layers or whether they're free range, in my mind, there's a little difference, except for perhaps the comfort of the actual hen. In a cage environment, you could have like three chickens in a like 2.5 foot by 2.5 foot cubicle, and there are lights on those chickens 24 hours a day. And
are they photosensitive?
They are. The amount of light that hits the chicken's eye stimulates their reproductive system. So if you keep lights on them for 24 hours a day, they're going to lay 1.5 to 2 eggs a day instead of one egg a day. Consequently, you burn the chicken out in about a year, year and a half, and then that chicken becomes...
tender?
It becomes...
a strip?
A stewed chicken. And you can buy canned chicken, and that's what that chicken becomes. Free-range chickens, they're grown in a large flock that they're allowed to range on the ground, and they find their own nest and lay in it, and the eggs are, but the feeding is about the same. The comfort of the chicken, that they don't get as many eggs out of those chickens as they do in the cage, so consequently, the cost of the eggs are going to be higher in the market than the ones that would be cage-laid. Then there are organically grown chickens, which are raised out on grass, and they're
so free range doesn't mean that there's grass between their.
Absolutely not. Just means that they're not in a cage.
So it could be in a parking lot.
They could be.
And wandering around, and that would be considered free range.
If you have thousands of chickens in a confined, let's say you have an acre of ground, a pen the size of an acre. And you have several thousand chickens in there, that you can call those chickens by law free range because they're not confined to a laying cage. But there will be no grass. They will be in somewhat unsanitary conditions because of the droppings. However, the big companies, they do a good job with that. They keep them fairly clean. There's not much of a difference between that egg and the egg that would be from a cage-laid bird. So
there's a perception that free range means that there are birds singing and we're out checking out the worms out by the creek.
Right.
Isn't necessarily the accurate definition.
I think you're correct. And I think that...
So what is that where the birds are singing and they're eating worms along with chicken?
That would be a small operation. It would be, you can call it an organic operation. They're fed completely organic and non-GMO feeds, which are more costly than your feeds that are genetically modified.
But organic or non-GMO doesn't speak to whether they're in a cage or on a flat top or they're out in the grass.
It's just what they're consuming. But I've seen a lot of chickens in the grocery store that are oven ready, and they're free-range organic chickens. That means that if they're going to say organic, that means they've been fed a feed that is certified organic, which probably is more healthy for the bird, but as far as growth and meat conversion, feed conversion to meat conversion, there's not going to be much of an advantage. So,
is there a term like pasture raised?
Well,
does that exist?
I think anybody to raise birds in a pasture setting would be unprofitable. You can't get enough birds in a big enough pasture and control the environment to where you can get maximum egg production or maximum feed to meat production without having to charge so much for the bird to be able to turn a profit.
And the premium for that just doesn't exist.
I don't think it does. I mean, that's a reason why a lot of people want chickens in their backyard. I mean, they want to be able to control what the bird eats. They can buy organic against non-organic food. If they are into dressing their own birds out, they know what went in the bird. They know it's absolutely fresh. And those are the things we grew up as children that we took for granted because everybody had chickens in their backyard. I grew up as a kid, and believe me, the chickens when I grew up tasted a lot differently than they do now.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 823. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Agajanian, noted chicken dude.
Okay, I'll accept that.
All right. Other than the obvious, what is the difference between roosters and chickens? Right, why is the meat not been? You don't see rooster, you see chickens. Okay. Is there something significantly different with the meat, or is it the fact that one can fertilize many and you don't want to kill the fertilizer, you want to eat those that are fertilized?
I don't think there's any difference in the taste of the meat between a cockerel and a pullet, which would be a young male or a young female. Between a cockbird and a hen, there would be a difference in the quality and taste of the meat. An old rooster is going to be probably less palatable than an old hen, strictly from the point that the hen is going to carry more fat on her body than a rooster would, which unfortunately fat's what makes things taste good, and that's where we're going. So as far as the young bird, there isn't any difference. So you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if you took some young males and young females and dressed them out. Carcasses would be similar, and the taste would be the same.
When you go to the various judging events that you participate with, or as, is there a division or a classification for roosters like there are for chickens?
Yeah, there are four classes. It's in any breed, it's cock, hen, cockerel, and pullet. You have four classes in all breeds. So they're each judged against each other. The cock birds, which means a bird that's a year old or older, is judged against the other cock birds in its class. The hens, same thing, a year of age or older, are judged against the other hens. Same thing for the cockerels and pullets. And when that's finished, then you judge for best of variety, which would be the color, and then Then you pick the best of the breed, which would be the best of all cock hen, cocker pullet, and variety. So,
the last time we got together, you were talking about some of the color and the feather differentiations between the various breeds and species.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to me, just looking at pictures, that the roosters tend to have a greater variety than what the chickens do. Is that fair, or is that is that Norman Rockwell and his paintbrush?
No, it isn't. It's true. I mean, the males have a different color pattern than the females. It's actually very much different in a lot of cases. But there's more sheen to the feather. It's in most things in nature, the male is the brighter, more flamboyant color pattern than the female, mainly because the female is going to be the one that sits on the eggs, and she needs to be camouflaged, and she can blend in more to the brush when she finds exactly, and she's not calling attention to herself. So yeah, that's true.
When you're judging a rooster, what are the things that you look for?
Well, it's just, again, you go by the standard of perfection, and there's a written description of every breed, every variety, which variety means color. So you just, you're trained to judge against what the standard says, and you try to select the bird that is the most close to the standard as the number one bird. And it's easier to pick out the first and second bird than the third, fourth, and fifth bird. First and second bird will stand right out. And then you may have six birds that are almost identical, and they all have problems and color problems and type or with shape problems. And it takes a little more concentration to pick maybe that third, fourth, and fifth bird. And you usually judge them down first through five. So
with many species, there are the anomalies. Okay. Many say I are one. Okay. In some, like dogs and horses, you know, having the larger is something that is then bred for because there are certain advantages for the application of those mutant or recessive traits. Same with breeding for poultry. Is that something that you look for as an advantage? Or if it's outside that perfect definition, it becomes something that's not wanted or undesirable?
You got to go back to the standard, because if the local folks happen to go to the Humboldt County Fair, or they go to the Redwood Acres Fair, and they visit the chicken barn, and they're going to see a bunch of chickens, and there's going to be this gigantic, beautiful rooster. Everybody, look how big that rooster is, and it's just beautiful. Well, that bird may not even place. Size really has nothing to do with what the standard says, but it is natural for people to be drawn to the larger, more robust bird, but it isn't necessarily the best bird. You have to go back to the standard. So.
And same goes with any deviation, a little bit smaller, more compact. Mm-hmm. That also can knock it out of any potential.
That's true, yeah.
So what do you look for? Is it the color you've mentioned a couple of times? Obviously, the comb is something that is an easy one for most of us to recognize as just a physical differentiation between different birds. Is that something that is looked to and measured and graded?
It is. You have several different types of comb. You go from comb to toenail. And everything.
Toenail?
Everything in between. There are specific disqualifications and specific cuts for defects. In a standard of perfection, there are, let's say, for example, you have a single comb bird, which means it's a flat blade with points on it. Most breeds require five evenly serrated points. A few require six. If you have in a breed that requires five evenly serrated points in a single comb and you have six, each point below or above is a half point cut when you're judging that chicken.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond, as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Agajanian, Chicken Guy. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, and by Redec. Gary, in the last break, we were talking about the judging standards and what you look for with birds. Breeding stock is something that is pretty common in a lot of different types of animals as folks are looking for that perfection you were alluding to. Mm-hmm. I suppose to a certain extent, it's also in humans as people try to get that achievement also. Is it in poultry as well?
It is. Like anything that has to do with genetics, the birds that win at the shows and are more closely matched the standard are birds that someone has spent a lifetime developing and concentrating the gene pool. Therefore, if you are interested in showing chickens, and you go to a poultry show and you have you want to buy the best bird you can because you're interested in showing, and you go to the person, you pay a big amount of money for the champion bird of the show, let's say. And then you go to another show and you see, say that bird was a male, and you go to another show and you see the same bird, same type of bird, only a female, and you buy that bird because it's the best one. And you put the two together, and let's say they weren't even related, two different bloodlines, but they're the same breed, the same variety. When you put those two birds together, you might as well be doing a complete crossbreed, because you're releasing millions of wild genes that were not concentrated in those lines. So, yes.
So the recessive can then start popping.
Exactly. You've got everything else that's released, and you're going to get everything from looks like crossbreeds to something like the breed. And if you're very, very lucky, you might produce a few specimens that are pretty nice. But you're better off to stay in the line where the genes have been concentrated in that line.
With some of the different challenges that are out there, you mentioned in the judging, the ducks. Hmm. Are ducks the same as, they're not the same as chicken, I get it. But are there contests, are there standards, are there shows for various strains of ducks also?
Any poultry show that's American Poultry Association sanctioned, also it also features ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas. Ducks are judged exactly the same way chickens are, according to the standard. There's a written description for ducks, each breed, each variety, the same thing with geese, same thing with turkeys.
The genetic traits, I would think that most folks would, if they're not enamored with the physicality of the bird, would think meat, would think production. Are those traits that are also bred, or are those things that are more, you know, in the culture versus, or in environment versus genetic argument, are those all environmental variables rather than genetic variables for particular
birds? Environment plays a huge part in raising any chicken, whether it's a show strain or a production strain. I see a lot of birds when I'm judging that are absolutely lovely birds, and a lot of times they're by youth and sometimes by adults, and they're absolutely immaculate. They're beautifully cared for, and I can tell that somebody is taking very good care of these birds, but they're not show birds. They're bred out of a production strain. And then you can take that bird. Let's say, for example, at the Humboldt Poultry Fancier Show, I was judging the 4-H show there. And there was a Buff Orpington female that was a production bird, and I wrote that on the coop card. And the person came up after the judging and said, "What does that mean?" And I said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with this bird. It's very nice, but it's not bred for show. It's bred for production." Now, if you look in the cage next to it, there's a female that is a show bird, and that bird was like a third or almost twice as big as this bird, much more feather, much closer to the standard than this production bird was, smaller, tighter feathered. I said, however, your production bird is going to lay more eggs than that show bird and be more, it'll be easier to keep that bird in a varied environment than that show bird. That show bird's been bred to look a certain way, and the production bird was probably going to be a little bit stronger as far as the physical stamina and production is concerned. That's why they call it production. So,
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Gary Agajanian.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Agajanian. Gary, the concept of bunnies and chicks at Easter, springtime, okay, they're out. Is that just when they come to market? Or is that by design because it's more of a cultural thing?
I think the bunnies and chicks at Easter, it just happens to happen in the spring, and that's when chicks are being hatched.
So we could call it Mother's Day then also.
Well,
if mom likes chickens.
Right. You know, they are basically available in the local feed stores. And for folks that are wanting chickens in their backyard, that's the perfect place to buy your chickens at the local feed stores. Right now, there was a seminar at one of the local feed stores this last Wednesday afternoon. They had a representative from Cargill Nutrina Feed. I happened to attend it. It went into a lot of good information about purchasing and how to care for chicks and what they require to grow and what they need to be fed to grow up in your backyard. So. This time of the year, if people are thinking about a few hens in their backyard, go to the local feed store. You have the advantage that if you don't want roosters, they're already sexed. Many of the birds that are offered in the feed store are sex-linked, which means genetically bred for at hatching. The males are a different color than the females, so they can choose
pick
all
them out pretty easy. Yeah.
Yep, that makes it easy. So you just pick out, say you want three chickens in your backyard, you pick four just in case something happens to one. You buy four chicks, you take them home, you put them in a little box with some shavings on the bottom with a light for heat. They should be kept at about 95 degrees for the first week, and the temperature should be dropped about 5 degrees a week thereafter. They should be have access
to 32?
Huh? Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Until they're fully feathered down to what we would call room temperature,
whatever
the environment is. But they should be kept starting at 95 and dropped about 5 degrees a week. They should have access to clean water, clean receptacles, a good quality chick starter with a little bit of chick grit, which would be ground up stone to help them digest their food.
And so you actually want them to have stone?
You do. Yeah, that we don't want them stoned. We just want them to be able to have stone. But anyway.
That helps in the digestive process?
It does, because chickens need grit, which is they usually pick it up if they have access to free range. They can pick up little stones and they swallow them. It goes into their gizzard, which is actually stomach that grinds the food before it goes into their intestinal tract. They have a crop where the food first goes into the crop, which is on their breast. From the crop, it goes into the gizzard. The stones are in the gizzard, and it's a very strong muscle, and it just any little pieces of grain in that, it just grinds them up. As the muscle works, it grinds that up, and it allows them to digest that food and get the most nutrients out of the food. So,
is that the only animal that has a gizzard?
I'm not sure.
Poultry?
I'm not sure. I know most birds have gizzards. I don't know whether some reptiles may. I'm not sure. If you go back, if you take the feathers off of most chickens and put a few teeth in their beaks, they look like little dinosaurs. But, basically. So I'm not sure on that.
It would seem like an evolutionary advantage to have that, so you weren't spending so much energy in doing the digestion. Focus more on the acquisition part.
Well, it's required because what they eat, they eat a lot of whole grains, and some of those grains have a hard shell on them, and so for them to be able to get the most out of that grain, they need to have that grain broken and crocked. So that's where it happens in the gizzard.
What is the biggest challenge for the backyard chicken raiser?
Predators. They need to have a pen that is predator proof because
about the family dog, or are you talking about like raccoons?
Could be the family dog, but it's we happen to live in an area. In fact, if you lived in LA City, you'd still have the problem with raccoons and possums and rats that will come in, and raccoons especially will kill your chickens. Foxes here will kill your chickens, so you have to have them in a place. Chickens will naturally go back to their pen in the evening when it gets dark to roost, and then you shut the door. But they need a good, secure pen to protect them from what's out there.
A garage with a doggy door?
I don't know that you'd want chickens in your garage. Basically, because of the dander and the mess, I think it's better to keep out in the yard. So,
okay, so you just kind of pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Keep them clean, keep them well fed and watered, and make sure they have the proper housing facilities, and I think you'd enjoy them.
Next time we'll talk about getting rid of those feathers. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.